The Bible raises many deep and mysterious questions, questions about the nature of being and the meaning of life, questions which could occupy our finest minds till kingdom come. And the questions that I will seek to answer today, well, they are nothing like that. They are nothing like that. These are not difficult questions. These are easy, straightforward questions about John the Baptist, and they are who, what, where, when, and for good measure, why. Let's start with who. Who was John the Baptist? Easy enough. If you read the Gospel of Luke anyway, you can't miss it. There in chapter 1, the very first story that Luke tells is about John the Baptist. He was the elder cousin of Jesus Christ and was himself a powerful preacher and teacher. In fact, he spoke with such authority that many of the devout from that time thought that he might even be the Messiah. People's expectations of John were that high. So that's who John the Baptist was. Let's move on to when. When did John the Baptist start his ministry? That's easy, too, if you know where to look. John began his ministry in the year 29. And we know that he began in the year 29 because, again, Luke tells us exactly what was going on when John the Baptist began to preach. It was this. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, but Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip was ruler of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias, ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, that's when the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. What a mouthful. What a mouthful. Who tells time in this way? Why bother to list off all of these petty rulers of little tiny principalities? In one way, it's helpful. It does let us cross-check our dates, and so we can come up with that date that I gave you, the year 29. But we also learn something else. We learn something else from the way that Luke chooses to tell time, which is the Holy Land was divided. The Holy Land was a terrifically divided place. There were so many borders crossing and crisscrossing that Luke has to list more than half a dozen separate and competing rulers within the Holy Land. One ruler in this place, another ruler just a few miles away. These were deep-seated ethnic and political and economic and military borders. The sites of skirmishes and thievery. It was a time of division, a time of danger, and so people wisely tried to stay well clear of any borders. People tried to stay deep within their own territory, surrounded by their own people, people they knew well. So that's what the Holy Land was like in the year 29. That's what it was like when John the Baptist got started. So how about where? We'll move on to where next. Where did John the Baptist begin his ministry? That one's easy too. The Bible is doing all my hard work for me today. Luke chapter 3 says that John went into all the region surrounding the Jordan River. So he was preaching, attracting quite a following there at the Jordan River. But you have to understand, this isn't the same as saying, oh, John was there down by the river. Remember those disputed borders that I was talking about? The Jordan River was a border. In some ways, it was the border. Virtually its entire length was a disputed border. If John had wanted to follow the Jordan River from its beginnings up to the north, he would have to begin in a land called Idumea, then cross into the land of Judea, and from there it would snake west into Samaria, and then from Samaria into the Decapolis, and then from the Decapolis into Perea, and then from Perea back into the Decapolis for a while, before finally dead-ending in Galilee, the freshwater lake of which was claimed by no fewer than 5 independent rulers. If John was preaching and working all around the Jordan River, it's easier to talk about the borders he didn't cross over than the ones he did. So that's the who, when, and where of John the Baptist's ministry. He worked at a hotly contested crossroads during a time of stark and dangerous division. So that brings us to what? What was John the Baptist doing? This is the easiest one yet. The answer is in his name. John the Baptist was baptizing people. That's what he did. He was baptizing people in the Jordan River, in the river itself. John met people at the most hotly contested border of his day. He stood in the very midst of water used to divide people from one another, and he used that water of division to baptize people. He baptized all those who came to him, all those who came seeking return to God. He baptized all who sought him, regardless of which side of the river they had approached him from. John immersed people in waters, which had been used as a means of division, and when they came out of that water, they came out radically transformed, radically unified, fundamentally equal, and past all borders, because they shared something important. They shared forgiveness. They shared being a forgiven people. It is an amazing thing to be forgiven. It is a powerful gift to offer forgiveness, and it's something that broke down borders through baptism. A divided people transcended stark political and economic borders that had created anger and distrust among people who were neighbors. These were neighbors. So that's the who, when, where, and what of John the Baptist, and that leaves us only with why. Why was John doing any of this? Why is normally the hard question. But like I said, all the questions I'll give you answers to today are easy ones, because the Gospel of Luke, again, tells us why. John was baptizing people to prepare the way of the Lord. John was baptizing people to prepare them for the coming of Jesus Christ, to prepare the world for the coming of Jesus Christ. John offered a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Every valley was to be lifted up, and every mountain was to be brought low. Now, don't get me wrong, this isn't about landscaping. This is about soul-scaping. It's about spirit-shaping. John was preparing people to live without false divisions between high and low, east and west, Jew and Samaritan. He was giving people a fresh start, a brand new beginning, as a marked people. Marked not with the brand of this nation or that nation, this camp or that camp, but solely the sign and seal of God's love for them. John was preparing the way of the Lord. But that rounds out the questions of who, what, where, when, and why of John the Baptist. Those are all the questions that I have answers to. But I do have one more question, a hard question that I can't answer, not by myself anyway. Will we continue the work of John the Baptist? Will we continue the work that John started? This is Advent, and the work of John the Baptist calls to us, prepare the way of the Lord. The work is still ours to do. After all, the world is still a place of hotly contested borders, faith, politics, economics crisscrossing one another. It is still a time of remarkable division, just like it was for John. The work is still the same. The work is still ours to do. But you might wonder, can we do it? Do we have the resources at our command to do the work of John? Do we have the same resources at our hands that John the Baptist had? The only resource that John the Baptist had was the waters of baptism. And those waters are still at our disposal. The waters of baptism are still as wide and deep as a great and rushing river. And like a river, the waters of baptism can be used either to divide people or to bring them together. As Christians, we need not remain standing on one or another side of any great divide, afraid that to joyfully re-enter the waters of community would mean being swept away. We need not remain divided because we share the waters of baptism. We may walk into the deep waters of our shared baptism and be immersed. We can be immersed in the equanimity of God's love, in the expansiveness of God's love, in the for me and no less for my enemy-ness of God's love. Friends, it is Advent. This is a season for healing. To heal ourselves, to heal our world, to heal our church.